Hi there, and welcome back to this Microsoft Virtual Academy course on Identity and Access Management. As always, my name is Jonathan Forgeson, and I will continue to be your host for this course over this, our final module. Welcome to the final module. Thanks for sticking around to the end. In this module, we'll be taking a look at monitoring and maintaining our Identity and Access Management solution. As part of this, we'll be taking a look at the tools we have to monitor the solution. We may also be able to squeeze in a small demo on one of the tools based out of Azure. To round out the session, we'll be having a look at some notes from the field on how to monitor and maintain the Identity and Access Management solutions. We'll also run over some pro tips on things to watch out for in our solutions. Let's take a look at the tools available to monitor these solutions. Most organizations already have a monitoring system in place, be they System Center Operations Manager, Nagios, PRTG, or any of the many tools developed to cover this space. Each solution has their positives and their not-so-positives. It would be best to monitor your identity solution in whatever monitoring solution that is already in place in your organization. If you don't have a monitoring solution, then it might be a good time to think about investing in one. An automated monitoring system can be a lifesaver, calling out issues that you are unaware of. If you are thinking of setting up a new monitoring system, then Azure has a few tools that we can leverage to monitor our solution. Though, if you're hosting your identity solution in Azure, it would probably be a good idea to have your monitoring solution elsewhere, just so you're not holding all your eggs in one basket. Though in saying that, you could have your identity solution based in one Azure data center, say the Australian ones, and have your monitoring solution based in a different geographical location, like the USA. I'm only going to call out a few different monitoring tools here, and those will be covered fairly briefly. The main reason for this is that there is well over a whole course worth of information on setting up just one of these monitoring systems, and that information can be found readily around the place. Let's just say that most of this information is out of the scope of the course and can be found in a more thorough form elsewhere, like a Microsoft Virtual Academy course on SCOM. Let's get started on these tools then. As this is a Microsoft course, we'll be starting off with SCOM. You're all probably aware of what SCOM is, but for the few of you who aren't, I'll give a brief overview of what it is. SCOM is a cross-platform data center management system for operating systems and hypervisors. It uses a single interface to show state, health, and performance information of computer systems. It also provides alerts generated according to some availability, performance, configuration, or security situation being identified. It works with Microsoft Windows servers and Unix-based hosts. From that definition, we can see that SCOM is perfect for monitoring our identity solution. What's more, there is a SCOM management pack available for monitoring ADFS which is updated regularly. Unfortunately, my demonstration setup does not include a SCOM server, so I can't demonstrate how this is completed. But from previous experience in the field, you download the management pack, import it into your SCOM platform, then create a new management pack inside SCOM for customizations on the monitoring. This is because the original management packs are sealed, so we wouldn't be able to make any changes to the original settings in the management pack. Once the management pack is available and ready to use, we can then start discovering the servers using the SCOM Discovery service. Once the ADFS servers and the WAP servers have been discovered, we can start selecting the various parts of ADFS that we want to monitor. These include monitoring the database on the ADFS platform, monitoring the certificates to see if they're valid, monitoring the ADFS servers for issues in connecting to the local Active Directory servers, issues with the trust between the ADFS servers and the WAP servers, and many, many more scenarios. More information on exactly what can be monitored can be found in the SCOM ADFS Management Pack Guide, which can be found on Microsoft TechNet. One great thing about SCOM is that it provides you with graphs of various metrics, as most monitoring solutions do, but it can also collate these into a dashboard so you can have a quick, easy-to-view window to the health of your identity solution. If you don't already have a monitoring system in place, SCOM can be a great tool once it's been configured properly. This is the same with any monitoring tool. It can only monitor what we tell it to monitor. If we tell it to monitor the wrong thing, then it's not the monitoring tool's fault that we missed something. Right, now that we've completed SCOM, let's move along to web monitoring tools. And I'm going to be focusing on the Azure Applications Insight web test response times. I have a quick demonstration of how we can go about setting this up, which I will run through here. First off, log into your Azure tenant. Once you're logged in and working, you'll need to create the web test monitor. This can be done by clicking on New and selecting the Everything tab at the top. Once you get to the new blade, you can pick the Application Insights button if it's there, or you can search for it using the search bar at the top. We're going to pick the button, as it's available. On the new blade that opens, click the Create button to create the new Application Insights application. This will open a new blade, which prompts you to name the monitor and select which resource group the monitor will be created under. Once that's all done, click the Create button at the bottom. This will take us back to the Start window while we wait for the WebTest Monitor app to be created. For brevity's sake, we're going to speed up this creation. Once the app has been created, a configuration blade will open for you to configure your new monitor app. Scroll down to the graph titled All Web Test Response Time in Milliseconds and click on the graph. This will open a new configuration blade, which will allow you to name the test you'll be running and enter the website URL that you wish to test. I'm going to use the IDP initiated sign-on.aspx page here. I'm also going to be checking this URL from the Singapore and Hong Kong data centers. Once we click Create, the web test monitor will be configured and it will start pinging that URL. I'm just going to jump to one that I prepared earlier so we can see some actual data coming back. So as you can see here, I've got my web test monitor pinging my URL, and I have the response times graphed here. You can also notice this big spike here where there would have been an outage as the ping has failed. As it's a once-off, I don't think there's a big need to worry. As you can see from that demonstration, Azure Web Test Monitors are a relatively quick, pain-free option to monitor the availability of your ADFS platform. The last tools that I'm going to call out here are the built-in tools, and I'm going to be discussing one particular tool, which is Performance Monitor. Performance Monitor is a great tool for monitoring your ADFS installations for issues that could be giving you headaches. Performance Monitor can be described kind of like Task Manager on steroids. It's highly customizable, and there are mountains of information that you can collect using the tool. Performance Monitor collects data from performance counters, which are measures of system state or activity. They can be included in either the operating system or can be part of individual applications. I think that SCOM queries the same counters, but it does across many servers. Performance Monitor is more of a scalpel to SCOM's hammer of Thor when it comes to monitoring one server. There are specific performance counters for ADFS, which can be very useful in troubleshooting issues that you're experiencing, or for monitoring if you're getting close to a performance threshold which may require you to increase the server resources available to the ADFS servers. I'll call out a couple of the counters that you should be interested in for your ADFS monitoring, and they are token requests per second, total token requests, request latency, rejected requests per second, total rejected requests, and any authentication failure counters that you can find. This group of counters will allow you to monitor your ADFS installation for any signs of congestion before it becomes a massive deal. You can also use Performance Monitor to monitor the basic server counters like CPU usage, memory, and disk usage. There's great information on the internet for setting up Performance Monitor to monitor your basic server needs, so we won't be covering it here. Now's my favorite topic, and that's the pro tips. These are the various things that I've learned over the last few years of working with the various tools that provide identity and access management services in the Microsoft space. AAD Sync is a really easy tool to use, and there really aren't that many moving parts that can be easily broken. There are a couple of pro tips that I'll mention though. The first one is when you have an issue with a synchronized user. You'll usually find this out because you'll receive an automated email from the Microsoft Online Services team, which will tell you that something isn't quite right. It'll also go into a bit of detail about the issue that has been detected, which is usually enough to do a bit of research yourself. One case that I've seen recently is where a company has changed the UPN of a user, which caused the synchronization process to error. Changing the UPN needs to be done by PowerShell and can't be managed through AAD Sync. The email was quite clear on what the issue was: unable to update this object in Windows Azure Active Directory because the attribute, user principal name, is not valid. Update the value on your local Active Directory services. Armed with this information, solving the problem was quick and easy. The second pro tip with AAD Sync is that there is a console for you to use, so you can track down issues with synchronizations. The AAD Sync process, like DirSync before it, is run by a cut-down version of Forefront Identity Manager's synchronization service. You can find the location of the console under the folder UI shell in the directory that you installed AAD Sync to. Using this tool, you can see all the information flows between your local Active Directory and the Azure Active Directory. There is also a new console here, which allows you to configure synchronization rules and customize the attribute mapping, or attribute flow, that defines how the attributes flow between Azure AD and on-premises Active Directory. Now we're entering the Notes from the Field section. This is where I'll be describing an issue I've encountered and run through the process I've followed to resolve the issue. Recently, a client of mine experienced an issue where some of the users were getting prompted for credentials in Outlook. Also, the single sign-on to SharePoint Online and Yammer was not working, giving a 500 error. To start the troubleshooting, I logged into the primary ADFS server to check the event viewer to see if there's anything obvious which could be causing the issue. I also wanted to check performance monitor for the counters that were described in the previous slides. What I first noticed was that the server was very slow to respond, and at times would prevent me from logging into the server or disconnecting my remote session. When I finally managed to log in and get Event Viewer open, there were many errors about credentials not being accepted because the requests were timing out. I checked to see that the domain controller was available, which it was, and I also opened Task Manager to see the overall performance of the server. The Microsoft Identity Service was using 98% of the processor all the time, which raised a flag for me. From there, I logged into the WAP servers and checked the same locations. On these servers, I was getting the error that the trust relationship between the WAP servers and the ADFS servers could not be re-established. I checked the connectivity between the WAP servers and the ADFS server using Telnet to connect on port 443, which worked with no issues, so it wasn't a communications path issue. At this stage, I was a bit puzzled. I restarted the ADFS service on the ADFS servers in case there was an issue on the server itself, and the servers had stopped responding for some reason. This cleared the issue temporarily, which was my first clue. I checked the amount of RAM the server had and the amount of CPUs it was allocated. They were a minimum spec that ADFS can run on, and as the ADFS server was struggling with the processor, I increased the server spec to 2 CPUs and 1.7 gigs of RAM. This was very easily done because the ADFS installation was in Azure. One click of a button, and there you go, upgraded server with no effect on your underlying virtualization platform. I noticed at this time that the SSL certificate was due to expire in 3 days. I have seen in past times where the ADFS server stops responding if the server becomes invalid in a short while. So I updated the SSL certificate, which appeared to resolve the issue momentarily. The reason that this resolved the issue is because when you update the SSL certificate, part of the process is to restart the ADFS service. After some testing, the issue appeared to be resolved, and it was late at night, so I called it a night. The next morning, there were reports of issues with single sign-on with Outlook again. The other single sign-on services were working with no issues this time, however. The WAP servers were still complaining that they could not renew the trust relationship with the ADFS servers. I checked the ADFS servers and noticed the processor usage was high, but not extreme. The amount of errors on the ADFS server had slowed, so I was able to catch a few errors which mentioned a threshold had been reached. This was my second clue, and tipped me off onto what was causing the issue. I checked where both WAP servers were resolving the URL of the internal ADFS service, and found they were both pointing to the ADFS server which was having the timeout issues. The internal DNS was pointing to the IP address of the Azure Load Balancing service, which is why they weren't having issues with single sign-on applications internally. Outlook is a special case. When Autodiscover runs, it hits the outside of the identity solution to confirm your credentials, which is why Outlook was prompting for credentials. On the WAP servers, there were host file entries pointing to the one server that was having the timeout issues. I removed the host file entries from the WAP servers so they would resolve the ADFS service URL to the internal listener and spread the load over the two ADFS servers as they should be. What had happened was that the ADFS server was overloaded, and there is a security measure in ADFS to prevent the service from overloading your internal Active Directory. This has been implemented in ADFS as a request window. If an ADFS server gets too many requests in a certain space of time, the ADFS server stops processing the requests. Our client had run into this cap as all external requests were hitting the WAP servers and being directed to one of the ADFS servers, and some of the internal requests were also being directed to that server as well. Once the server resources had been increased and the load was being spread correctly between the servers, the issue was resolved. What I'd like for you to take away from this little story is the troubleshooting method used. The first port of call in a storm is Event Viewer. There is a specific ADFS log on any ADFS server which can be found under the Applications and Service Log tree. The second port is Performance Monitor, to see what the server is actually doing and how it is, or isn't as the case may be, working. The third port is the basic fundamentals of how the system works. And there is always the internet. If you can get enough information, you will usually be able to find someone who has had a similar issue to you somewhere in the world, and they would usually have blogged about it. If you do manage to find an issue that you believe is unique, feel free to start up a blog yourself. It's a great thing to do, and it will help all the people who are attempting to use ADFS. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for sticking through the course. I hope there has been a little information for everyone in these last 4 modules, and that I've been able to inform you on the wonders of identity and access management. Thank you all for watching, and have a great time with Microsoft Identities.